Of you guys, and nice to see you, right? Amen. Rachel was one of our board members, and she served with us for a while, and she served with my idiosyncrasies and my funniness, but she survived, I see, and yeah. Your husband's more funnier than me, right? But it's great to have them with us, and some elders that haven't been here in a while. It's great to see Len and Ellie and Barb as well. We're blessed. If I miss someone, I'm sorry. But it's just great to see us get together as a church family, as the body of Christ. Amen. It's needed, especially as we see the day approaching. Jesus coming quickly. Our scripture verse is come. And that word in the Greek is Maranatha, and which means come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come. And we're waiting for Jesus to come for sure. Today I want to talk to you on the subject, because I didn't get last week to talk to you on it, about cultivating a thankful heart. And though Thanksgiving may be over, but really Thanksgiving is every day that you're alive. And we give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. So we're going to stand and we're going to read Psalm 34, verses 1 through 22. And I have to ask you for forgiveness, because spell check got a hold of my scripture verse and butchered it a little here. But you just try to follow along. You'll see the mistakes as I read them. But spell check. How many like spell check? I like it when it helps me. But when it makes it, when it just messes things up, and you don't see it until after the fact. I learned a lesson. When you text somebody, make sure you read it before you send it, because you'll be surprised what word check will do to a text in that way, all right? But I want to talk to you today about cultivating a thankful heart, cultivating a thankful heart. And in Psalm 34, verses 1 through 22, it reads, I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall what? Continually be on my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked upon Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear Him, and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Not cod, but good. Blessed is the man, like I told you, spell check got a hold of this. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open upon their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Thank God for that. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be as of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keepeth all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. You trust in God today? You trust in God? You're not going to be desolate. You're not going to be left alone. He's going to be there to help you. Let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you once again for this time that we can gather together as a body here today. This is your church, Lord. This is your body at function. And it's working and doing what you would want it to do. And we thank you for the fellowship that we have among one another. Though there may be distance and time that causes us not to be connected to one another, but yet there's something about that familiar spirit of bond that is there, that has never broken because of our love for them, but the love that we have in Christ. Today we come together and we ask your blessing upon us as we, O God, look at cultivating a thankful heart. It's not something that easily comes to us because by nature we are just very negative people. We're not positive by no means. But Lord, we ask you to cultivate in us a thankful heart. And Lord, we thank you for the prayer needs that have been going up in this church for those that are sick and not well. For Frank and for Dave and for the many needs that are among us that need a touch from you. And you're the only one that can make that touch whole. And Lord, we just pray this hour that you'll just meet with those that are online and that you'll meet with them. And whatever their need is, that you would meet them and be with them and minister to their needs in a special way. Just bless our time here now as we give to you this portion of our service. We are grateful and thankful for what you have done and what you're going to do. And for this, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Again, publicly, I just want to thank all those that came out and helped decorate the church. It looks great. And enjoy the beauty of the season that's upon us. And remember, Jesus is the reason for what? The season. Don't take Christ out of Christmas. You take Christ out of Christmas, you're going to have what? A mess. And people have taken Christ out of their lives, and they're a mess. So today I want to talk to you about cultivating a thankful heart. Across my newsfeed came a story about the Butterball Turkey Company. And it listed the highlights of the calls that came into the company during Thanksgiving Day. Do you know that on Thanksgiving Day, if you're having problems cooking your Butterball turkey, there's a 1-800 number you can call and you can get emergency help. Emergency help right there on the spot. They have a call center. Can you imagine that? A call center. Well, this is the most ridiculous, but the most heinous laugh that you got to laugh to call that came into the emergency center on Thursday. And the call went something like this. I'm calling you because I have a problem, the woman reported. That her hamster went into the cavity of their turkey and started eating the turkey from the inside out. And now the hamster is stuck in the middle of the turkey. What do we do to get it out? Can you imagine someone calling someone like that and say, my hamster got caught in the cavity of the turkey, and how do you get it out? Thanksgiving is a day of gratefulness and thankfulness, and no matter whatever circumstance or situation you're in, you got to be thankful for all things. The scripture tells us that. So I don't know if you got a hamster stuck in your turkey, but be thankful that you didn't cook it. You got it out before you cooked it. And there's many more, but I won't bore you with all the different things. You can go online and you can read that. But King David said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall what? Be continually on my mouth. It's not something that we just say. It's something that originates in the heart. It's something that comes from deep within us. It's something that comes from a grateful and a thankful spirit. And when you're going to cultivate a thankful heart, it's got to be cultivated in a good environment. It's got to be cultivated in a place where Christ lives and Christ abides. We all have a heart at the center of our body, but yet we have a spiritual heart at the center of our spiritual being. And it's that spiritual being that God is more concerned about than your outward appearance or your inward adoring. He's more concerned about that spirit man, that spirit woman within you that needs God within its life. And it's in that spot that he wants to cultivate a thankful heart. And I want you to know today that this cultivation doesn't take place just because you placed some seeds there, or this cultivation doesn't take place because you decide to wake up one day and not be negative and be positive. Cultivation is a long-term event that takes place in your life. It's a long-term event. It's something that you need to practice and you need to put into purpose, that you need to constantly be aware of, to be thankful, and to have a heart that is very thankful to God. And a life of thanksgiving, King David said here, should be the way of life for all of us today. You should be a thankful person. You should be a thankful people. I know around our table at Thanksgiving time, our oldest grandson, he put the names of everybody in a baggie, and we went around and we picked name out of the baggie. And when we did that, we had to say something of that name we picked, what we were thankful for. What we were thankful for them, for them. And don't you know, tears and laughters just eliminate from that time of being thankfulness around the table. And church, that's what our relationship with Jesus Christ is about. There are times that we can be thankful and we are going to laugh, and there are going to be times that we can be thankful and we're going to cry. There are times that we're going to be thankful in the midst of tragedy as well as in the midst of triumphy. But no matter what, thankfulness has got to originate somewhere. It's not a part of our thinking because we are not made that way. We are not wired that way. But it comes from the spiritual being where Christ lives within our heart. Now society tells us, medical science tells us, that if you are a very positive, thankful person, you will have a good life. You will have a good life. Now, I don't know how medically, where they get that statistic from, but I know for a Christian, if you live a thankful life, you're going to have a good life. Now, we're not talking about human beings here. We're not talking about culture and society. We're talking about the spiritual nature of man. If you can live a thankful life, you're going to have a good life. And why are you going to have a good life? Because you realize that everything that comes your way because God brings it your way. And that you're thankful for everything that takes place in your life. We all know the story about Jonah, who was swallowed by a great fish. We don't know if it was a whale or a special mammal that God prepared. But we do know he was swallowed, the scripture says, by a great fish. How did Jonah get out of his situation? He wasn't being obedient to God. He ran from God. And when he ran from God, God prepared a fish to swallow him to get him back where he needed to be. It took him 3 days to get his mind and his heart right with God. 3 days. And at the end of 3 days, this is what Jonah prayed. But I will sacrifice unto you with the voice of thanksgiving. You know, sometimes we're not delivered from our situations. We're not delivered from our problems because we are not thankful for them. Jonah, after the third day in the fish's belly, says, I will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to you. As soon as he said that, guess what happened? That fish just vomited him up on the shore. Just vomited him up on the shore. And there's a way that God delivers us from our troubles and our tragedies and the things that take place in our lives. And if we're thankful, God will always make a way and do something special in your life. When did God make the fish spit him up? I put that highlight there because we need to understand that God doesn't take us out of our situations until we are grateful for them. Now, there's something that we need to remember. When you're in the pit and all hell is breaking loose around you, that's when you need to raise your voice in praise. Years ago, I remember the song that praise the Lord. And when you praise him, demons go scattering and the devil goes hiding. There's something about praising God that causes the evil spirits and the devil to leave you alone and to get out of your presence. There's something about praising God that cripples, not you, but cripples the enemies around you. And that's where we need to be in our lives as Christians. We need to know that our praise will cripple tragedy, will cripple the enemy, will cripple all those things that are against us, because God is greater in us than around those that are around us. Now, here's the truth to remember. Nothing demonstrates trust like thanking God while you're in the throes of crisis. There's something about thanking God. There's something about giving God the praise, giving God the glory. In the midst of your crisis, start praising God. I remember Watchman Nee said in his book, and I got it in my office, on a plaque that says this, if you have any long-standing problems, try kneeling. You know, a lot of people go through life having a lot of standing problems, but never have resolves. We need to try kneeling. And if you do have any long-standing problems and you are kneeling, while you're kneeling, start praising him. Start giving him the glory. Start giving him the honor. Because a thankful heart in the midst of crisis, God is able to do more for you than you are able to do for yourself. So I want to talk to you today about two things that a thankful heart does in your life. A thankful heart will do, number one, build your faith. A thankful heart will build your faith. So if you have a thankful heart, something happens. The reason we walk by faith and not by sight, according to 2 Corinthians 5:7, is because we know, regardless of the circumstances, God works all things together for what? Our good. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For we know that God works all things together for good to them that what? To them that love God, right? Them that walk according to His purposes, right? So we know that God works all things together for good. We know that. And if we are going to live our lives and live our lives in a way of a faith in God and thanking Him in the midst of things that go in our lives, we know that all things work together for our good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for every circumstance that takes place in your life. Don't think today that the devil has his way and he can do whatever he wants. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us the devil can't touch us unless God allows him to. The scripture tells us the enemy can't come against us unless God fortifies us with the strength that he knows that we can achieve and we can overcome whatever the enemy brings our way. God knows, and we should know, that greater is he who is what? In us than he that is in the world. If you're in the world and you don't know God, you're not gonna succeed. You're gonna fail every time. But if you do it in God, you will be able to succeed. God's got a purpose for your life. God's got a purpose for that trial. God's got a purpose for that circumstance. God's got a purpose for that problem. God's got a purpose for that addiction. God's got a purpose for your financial needs. God's got a purpose. Nothing happens coincidentally. Nothing just happens carelessly. Everything is meticulously planned out in God's purpose. That's God's providence for you as a Christian. Now, we may not know it all and how God wants to work all that together for good, but He does. He does. Somehow God does that. With 8 billion people in the world, it works together. I don't know how it happens. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm sure the Macy's Day Parade, it took hours, who knows, months of planning for that thing to come off without a hitch. And they still had problems. They still had problems, but yet, it went on. It went on. With Christ in our lives, we may not understand everything that goes on in our lives. We just, who knows, we may not even know until we get to heaven. I mean, there are some purposes that are kept in this mysteries of God's lockbox that will not be revealed until we get into heaven. And when we get in heaven, God's going to show us that mystery and we're going to say, oh, that's why that happened. Never underestimate what God does. King David says, come, magnify the Lord with me. A thankful heart is just not for you, but it's for all those that are around you. Magnify the Lord. Don't talk negative. Don't get on somebody. Don't gossip or talebearer about somebody else or something that somebody else did. I know that people remember one thing that you do wrong and the 99 things you did right, they don't remember. That's just our nature as human beings. We remember those things, right? When we make a mistake or we do wrong. I mean, I still remember them. And sometimes I got to take myself by the back of the neck and say, come on, get out of that. Get out of that thought. Get out of that train. Get off of that train. Get on to another train. Get on to the thankful train. Don't stay onto the train of negativism. Now, the word magnify in the Hebrew here means something to enlarge. So when David says, come magnify the Lord with me, David is saying enlarge your praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Come, enlarge your thankfulness, your praiseness to the Lord. Magnify that. So many times we magnify the anthill and we forget about the mountain. So many times we put a lot of magnification upon the wrong that is done or what other people do against us. We magnify that, but we don't magnify what God's done through that. Thank the Lord that your car accident may have destroyed the car, but it didn't destroy you or hurt you. Don't magnify upon that, the person that was at fault. Magnify on the fact that God protected you. He watched over you. Magnify upon the fact that God watches over you and he doesn't allow harm to come your way. Or some way, somehow, he does something that you don't even know. He's anonymous about it. But that's how God works. When we focus on God instead of the problem, God becomes bigger and the problem becomes smaller. I remember our kids used to sing a song years ago. And I'm going to try to sing it, but it goes something like this. God is bigger than all my problems, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I cannot see. God is bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. My God is bigger than any mountain that I cannot see. I know the song goes on a lot more. How many remember that song? Huh? At least I got some audience out there. You know, God's bigger than all of our problems. He's bigger than anything. Why do we magnify on the problem and not magnify upon the Lord? Because it's our nature. Go from the carnal nature to the spiritual nature. And when that transformation takes place, you're going to be grateful, you're going to be thankful, and you're going to thank God for what he's given to you. Faith has a very important aspect in this. Because Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. So how do we increase our praise? How do we increase our thankfulness? Is we got to also increase our faith. Like I said in the beginning, it builds your faith. When you start praising God and thanking God, your faith is going to be built. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. Quote the scripture, say the scripture. Don't hold back. Let it flow out of you. Magnify the Lord with me. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. Hey, we're going to praise God. We're going to take a moment. We may cry, but we're going to take a moment. We're going to thank God. We're going to praise the Lord for what he's done in our lives. Hearing God's promise come from your lips causes faith to rise in your heart. The video that we saw, again, God promised these things before you were even alive. God promised these things before even the world was in existence. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son. That's a promise that God did for humanity. Let's be thankful for that. I believe that God is calling men and women, boys and girls today to a salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ than ever before. Because I believe we're living in the end times. God's drawing people to him, bringing people back to him, awakening their hearts. No man can come unto the Father. No woman could come unto the Father except the Spirit of God draweth them. Plant the seed, let the seed cultivate. Plant the seed in their heart, let the seed cultivate. It's going to produce something. God's word is not going to come back void. It's going to go forth and do what it has purpose to be done. We think it's all about us. They rejected us. They hurt us. They hurt our feelings. It's not about us, church. It's about him and what he wants to do in our lives. So I want to encourage you, start talking. Live a life that allows you to have a thankful heart. Be that person that will turn someone's sorrows into joy. Be that person that would encourage somebody instead of discouraging them. Be somebody that will be there for someone in a time of need and not in the time of problems. So that's one thing a thankful heart would do. And then the second thing I believe this psalm is saying, the second thing that a thankful heart will do, it will restore life. It will restore life. There's so many people that are very negative and very distanced from God. But when they start praising God and thinking what God has done for them and what God can do for them, something happens in their life. Their life takes a new course. Their past is no indication of what their future is going to be. Their past is no indication of what God can do once they meet Jesus Christ as their Savior and God changes the future. We're not talking about a timeline or time zone or time travel. We're talking about Jesus who came over 2,000 years ago and for humanity in time. And he came in the fullness of time to make it possible for humanity to get into the right relationship with God. Prior to that, men was in disarray. Women were in disarray. They were at odds with God. But after Jesus Christ came, Jesus Christ made it possible for people to get right with him. He restores life. He restores life. You know, it's interesting as I look at one content of Scripture in the life of Lazarus. Most of you know the story of the life of Lazarus. If you don't know it, let me just fill you in on the details. But Lazarus died. Jesus was away on business, or he was on a ministry trip. He was called. He didn't have cell phones, but the call came to him 2 days after Lazarus died and say, come, he's sick. Before he died, come, he's sick. We know if you come, you'll make him whole. You'll make him well. You healed others, you'll heal him. Jesus, my hour has not come yet. So he stayed where he was and he ministered and he did what he had to do. Then word came to him that 2 days later that Lazarus died. And the word came to him in a very negative formality. It came to him in this way. If you were there, he would not have died. Boy, that's putting a lot of faith in something that if you don't have a relationship with God, you can't do. Matter of fact, Jesus waited another 2 days. And then on that fourth day, he went to see Mary and Martha. And when Mary came running, or Martha came out, and then Mary came out, Jesus asked him, don't you believe that I am the resurrection and life? And she says, I know you in the day, when the day comes, that he's going to be raised from the dead. And Jesus says, don't you know that I can do it now? And Jesus went to that tomb of Lazarus, said to them, roll the stone away. They rolled the stone away, and they reminded Jesus. Now remember Jesus, he's been dead for 4 days. He stinketh. He stinketh. That's what it says in the scripture. He stinketh. You know, they said guests are like fish, right? After so many days, they start smelling. No. No. I don't know where that came from. Forgive me. That was not spiritual. He stinketh. Didn't matter. Jesus said, roll away. They rolled it away. Jesus yelled. Or he didn't yell, but he said these words, Lazarus, come forth. And supernaturally, life re-entered Lazarus. Bam. Now, I want you to know something. He was in the tomb, but the scripture says he was at the mouth of the tomb now. What's interesting about, if you know anything about the burial back in the Jewish days, they would wrap a dead person in linen. It was almost like plaster Paris. So basically, it was like a cast. They were wrapped in plaster Paris, like a cast, linen. And so that way, as a body rotted and decayed, everything kind of stayed in that shell, basically. And here the scripture says, when Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus went from his point of laying in death to the front of the tomb, or the mouth of the tomb. He was standing there, but yet, how did he get there? The same spirit that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead, which dwelt in him, raised up his mortal body, picked him up in a shell form, and placed him at the mouth of the tomb. And what was Jesus' command to his disciples? Go and loose him. In other words, go and set him free. He's alive. But the point that I want to get to is this. Before Jesus called Lazarus from the tomb, this is what it says. He said, then they took away the stone from the place where it's found in John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42. It says, and then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you. What is God saying here? That before God can do anything in our lives, before he can do any miracles in our lives, we need to thank him. I thank you. That's what he said. I thank you that you have heard me. How many times you pray and you don't think God hears your prayers? How many times you pray and you don't think your prayers just go off bouncing off the ceiling? Maybe you got to change the way you pray. Maybe you got to start thanking him. I thank you, Lord, that you hear me. I thank you, Lord, that you're there for me. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not walking this by myself. I thank you, Lord, that you're right beside me. I even thank you, Lord, you're even inside of me. There's something about a thankful heart, a cultivated heart of thankfulness, that things start to happen. And he prayed this. Thank you for hearing me, and I know that you always hear me. It's one thing to pray and think that God hears you, but there's another thing to preface it and say, you always hear me. I'm glad that God hears us. I'm glad that God cares about us. I'm glad that God is there for us. Aren't you? I'm glad he is. And there may be times that I don't think he hears me, but I know he does. And there are times that I don't think that he even wants to answer my prayers, but I know he still hears. And God knows what's best for me. God knows what's best for you. Something wonderful happens when you start thanking God for his saving power, his protection power, his provisions that he gives you every day of your life. This morning when you woke up, your prayer was, "Thank you, Lord, for this day, my daily bread." You got to thank God for the day before you even start it. Don't wait to the end of the day to thank him. Start off right, on the right foot. Thank him in the beginning. So when the day ends, you are in a right place to say and praise him and thank him for all that he has done. Our faith soars and you start to see how God magnifies himself in your life. You gain a confidence to command those things in your life that you thought were dead. And again, God brings back to life. I'm thinking even my daughter, Abby. I remember for 5 years, her and her husband tried to get pregnant, and they did everything possible to get pregnant. And they did everything possible. And we were even praying that God would do the impossibility and give her a child. But yet the child didn't come. And one day she called and she says, "Dad, I may not be having a natural baby, but we're going to adopt a boy." That was my first grandson. First grandson out of all the granddaughters that I had. And I remember her saying, "Dad, it comes from an abusive home and the situation that surrounds that." And I won't go into the details because you don't need to know all that. But what you need to know, that God had that child born for such a time as this, so that child will end up in my daughter's lap and her husband's lap. And boy, what a blessing he is, Colin. What a blessing. He's got more energy than I would ever have, for sure. But the guy is wisdom and he's smart. But he's being brought up in the good home, in the ways of the Lord. In the ways of the Lord. Why am I saying that? Saying that you got to be grateful. You got to be grateful. My daughter and her husband were very grateful that God placed a child in his life, in their lives, and they could adopt it. When did you know, 3 months down the road, bam, she got pregnant. Don't know why, but yet maybe God brought her through that testing period for 5 years for her just to trust in the Lord. At that time, she kind of gave up the idea of having a child. She really did. And then God gave her one. God just didn't give her one, but gave her another one. And just not give her another one, give her another one. So she had 3 children besides the adopted one. Church, there's something about being grateful and thankful for what God gives us. And sometimes we don't see the outcome. I don't know what the outcome in the future in Colin's life, what it'll be. But I know this much, he has a home that where the love of Jesus is, and where the nurturing of Jesus is found. And parents that love the Lord, that are serving the Lord, I just can't think of a better outcome for someone whose life should have been a wreck and a mess. I can't even go into the details of the mother's life. But yet, for the grace of God. But for the grace of God. Solomon Wong, I shouldn't say his last name, but I'll say it. How many know Solomon Wong? Missionary, you guys know who he is. He shared with me one time how a group of men came to him. They were all living in the same home. 9 men living in the same home. And the men were complaining. They were complaining to him. And he goes, "Well, I can't solve your problems. I can pray that God will solve your problems, but I can't solve your problems." And as he was praying for the guy, God dropped a thought in his mind. And he shared it with me. He says, God dropped in his mind that they have goats out in the yard. He told the men, "Bring a goat in the house and have the goat live with you in the house." So that's what they did. This man brought the goat in the house. And the man came to him 3 months later and says, "It's terrible. It's horrible. It's worse now than it would ever be." And he goes, "Well, now put the goat out." And they put the goat out. 3 months later, that same man came back to him and says, "Oh, our house is so good. It's so peaceful. It's so great to be living together with 9 other men, and we get along." You know, sometimes God has to bring things in our lives for us to find out what good we do have. Think about that. That life is good, but we complain, and then God brings something in our life that makes it even worse, and then we get rid of it. God takes it out of our lives, so we get rid of it, and then life seems good again. Be thankful before that even happens, because I don't want you to go through that. But if you do go through it, be thankful, because He restores life in a proper order. So I want you to cultivate a thankful heart today. I don't know if I have the scripture verse up on the board, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, in everything, I do, in everything. It didn't say in some things. It didn't say in nothing. It says what? In everything, right? In everything, give thanks. I know that's not easy sometimes, especially if your mindset and your heart is not set on that. But get your heart, cultivate that heart, where you start saying, in everything we give thanks. You may be saying, but things are not well right now. Yeah, I understand that. Things might not be well, but in everything, give thanks. Pastor, you don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know the problems I'm having. You don't understand. No, you're right, I don't. But the scripture says, in everything, give thanks. Listen, this is not my formula. This is not my remedy. This is God's word. And this is God's remedy. This is God's medicine for your sour soul. This is God's medicine for you to allow Him to rise up in your life. Think about the life of Joseph. Perhaps you can think about the life of Joseph. How he was sold into Egypt by his brothers, who he grew up in a family. And he thought his brothers loved him, and they got rid of him. How his brothers betrayed him. But yet, you read the account of Joseph's life, in everything he gave God the thanks. For what they meant for evil, God meant it for good. Church, think about Joseph and everything he went through. Think also about the opportunity that he could have got his own brothers back. The power was in his hand to bring vengeance upon his brothers. But he didn't. He let them sweat a little. Maybe they lost a pound of flesh there, sweating. What's this magistrate going to do to us? He's taking Simon. What's he going to do with us if we don't bring our brother back, Benjamin? What's he going to do to us? If we bring Benjamin back, our father's going to die. If we don't come back, we're going to die. They were in a perplex situation. That would come out eventually. They were in a situation that they had no control over. Maybe God's put you in that place. You're in a situation you have no control over. But you need to understand, God is in control. This world may be out of control, but God is in control. The Bible records again and again the adversity that leads to the advancement and the loss that leads to gain. The Bible, again, the Bible is full of history about the adversity that His people have gone through, the adversity that they have faced, the adversity that led them to advancement, and even the loss that led to gain. Think about the three Hebrew boys. They had to go through the fiery furnace. But what was the adversity? They had to go through the fire, but what was the advancement? They were put into places of leadership in the Babylonian kingdom. They were put in place of leadership. Through their adversity, advancement came, and they were serving in an office. Joseph also, he was put in charge of Egypt, wasn't he? Moses led God's people out of Egypt. He was put in charge of that. What about Job? Job went through a lot just for God to prove the fact that God doesn't allow nothing to come into our life unless He allows it. Job became the pinnacle example of Christianity today, that nothing comes our way unless God allows it. And what happened to Job? He lost his family. He lost everything that he had, all possessions and everything. And he was even told by his wife, "Why don't you curse God and die?" But Job says, "No, I can't do that. I got to be thankful in everything. I got to give God the praise. Even if He slays me, I'm still going to thank Him. Even if He takes my life, I'm still going to serve Him." There's something about the outcome in the end of you trusting God. I know that to die is to gain. to leave this world. I know where I'm going. There's a positive influence there. When you talk to people that are Christians that are dying, they know that they're parting this life and they're going on into eternal life. Why do we want to hold on to the shackles of this life when God is calling us into His presence? I don't want to go before I'm able to go. I'll be honest there. I want to live life. I want to live it with my wife, my grandkids, my kids, my mother-in-law, who God still has given to us, 91 years, bless her heart. I want to live life because God's given us life. But church, if we our disposition causes us to look anywhere else or any place else, we end up losing out with the Lord. Look at the disciples of the Lord. There was 12 of them. One got so discouraged, he went out and hung himself. One was so discouraged, he denied Jesus 3 times. You know, in life, those things are going to happen. We're going to be at despair, even to the point of death. But we need to hold on. No matter what unfolds in your life, God's got a plan. I don't know what that plan is. I'll never know what that plan is. But I do know this. He holds your life in His hands. He holds my life in His hands. I have confidence in that thing. That's the very thing that I have confidence in. There's not a lot of things in life I have confidence in today. I really don't. Can't trust the world system of finances. Can't trust politicians and what they do. Can't trust political figures that are coming into office. You can't. Your trust has got to be in the Lord and only in Him. And every decision you make, make with Him in mind. There's a master plan unfolding in your life and in my life. To be wise, we got to take these lessons. We got to learn from them because God has us in His mind. He has a plan. Evil's going to come. We're going to be confronted by evil all the time. But we need to know that God has all things under control. The devil may be stoking the fire like he did with the 3 Hebrew boys. But rest assured that God has His hand upon the thermostat. He's not going to let it get hotter than you can bear. God's not going to give you more than you can handle. God's not going to burden you more than He knows that you can take. That's the confidence I have in God. When something comes my way and I can't control it or I don't understand it, I say, God, You know what's going on. I'm not going to question You. Lord, just have Your way. And God, have Your way sooner than later. I want to get this over with and I want to move on. But sometimes that's not how God works. He says, be patient, my son. Be patient. I'm doing something in you. Again, I said it before, I'll say it again. The story of Job teaches us that the devil has to be given permission to attack us. So if God is allowing the attack, surely He is planning our victory. He won't allow us to be in the battle that we couldn't win. God doesn't place us in that way. He doesn't. He knows if we go into that battle that we are able to be more than conquerors through Him that have loved us. Just keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep looking up because your redemption is going to be drawing nigh. Amen. Worship team's going to come and they're going to lead us in a song to get us in a point of cultivating a thankful heart. But I found this poem in one of my illustration files, and I just want to share with you, if I could. I don't know if it's poetry or a poem. I put it as a poem, but it could be poetry. I don't know. But it goes something like this. Today I was on a bus and I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I was envious of her because she had hair and I had none. I wish I would have that type of hair. When suddenly she arose from her seat and I saw her hobbling down the aisle with a wooden leg and with a crutch to aid her. As she passed me, I smiled. And I said, oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet and the world is mine. When I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, it's nice to deal with someone such courteous I seldom find. He turned and said, oh, thank you, sir. And when I saw that he was blind, I said, oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have two eyes and the world is mine. Then when I walked down the street, I saw a child with eyes so blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew what to do. I stopped for a moment and I said, why don't you join the others, dear? He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew that he could not hear. And I said, oh God, forgive me when I whine, for I have two ears and the world is mine. With feet to take me where I go, with eyes to see the sunset glow, with ears to hear what I would know, I am blessed indeed, the world is mine. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. Church, I know it's easy to whine. Matter of fact, if you come into my office and I counsel you, I have a sign on my wall and it says whine. It has a circle and it has a cross through it. Mean no whining. No whining. Reality says God is there for you. He's not allowing things to happen just to happen. He has a purpose. He has a purpose. Let's pray. Father, today we sit here coming out of a Thanksgiving time of celebration where people had food on a table. But Lord, there might have been places, even in our own community, where people didn't have food on their table. They needed to go somewhere to get a meal. Father, help us, oh God, when we whine, when we don't have the things that pleasure us, but we have everything that we need. God, you meet our needs. You don't meet our wants. And Father, today we come before you as a humble people. We need you. We can't do life without you. God, give us a grateful heart. Give us a grateful heart today. Because without that grateful heart, we can never look through the eyes and the lens of who you are. Because who you are increases our faith. Who you are gives us life to the fullest. And who you are allows us to cultivate a thankfulness within us. So today, Lord, we all are at a crossroad one way or another. And it's at that crossroad where decisions need to be made. So as the worship team just plays that song softly, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor John, I kind of get and understand what you're saying about having and cultivating a thankful heart. And Pastor John, I have to admit to you, I'm not a Christian. I know about God. I'm living and pretending to live a life that I'm a Christian. Maybe you're here today and that's you. Or maybe you're here today and you never heard about Jesus Christ. How he loved you so much that he offered his life before you were even born. That how he gave of himself so you can have eternal life. His death and resurrection on the death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave proves to us this day that he cared more for us than we would ever care for him. Maybe you're here today and you need Jesus as your Savior. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, I'm not here to embarrass anybody, but I'm here to lead you to know this God in whom I'm in soul in love with. If you need Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior today, without anybody looking around, I want you to raise your hand and I want to pray for you. I believe this is your moment. This is your time. This is your chance to say, not to this church, but to say to God, God, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to be grateful and thankful for all that you've done in my life. Maybe you're listening online and you say, Pastor John, I need Jesus into my heart. If that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer as well. So for those that are here or those that are listening online, I just ask you inwardly to pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I come before you. I admit that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of Jesus. I need Jesus to come into my heart, to forgive me of all of my sins. Jesus, I ask you now to come into my heart, to forgive me of all my sins. and make me right in your Father's sight. And from this day forward, I'm going to live for you, God. I'm going to live for you. So help me, God. If you prayed that prayer here or online, please let me know. Text me, message me, do whatever you have to do. I want to give you materials. I want to help you understand the decision that you just made today. Christians, maybe you're here today now, and you're saying, Pastor, I don't have a thankful heart. I have a whining heart. Pastor, I need to cultivate a heart of thanksgiving. Again, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Yes, amen. I appreciate the sincerity that I sense. Yes, amen. Amen, amen, amen. You know, God knows us. He knows where we're at. And he knows what he needs to do in our lives. We can trust him for that. We can trust him for that. Father, I just want to pray for those that are saying, God, I need to have a grateful heart. I need to cultivate thankfulness within my soul, within my spiritual being. Father, forgive me. Forgive me for all those times that I whined, all those times I compared, all those times I went against what you were trying to do in me. From this day forward, Lord, let me just trust you. Let me have faith that you're going to work everything together for my good. Let me cultivate a thankfulness and thank you for everything that ever comes in my life and to be grateful for that. Lord, I just pray that you would guide them, lead them in the truth that they need. And this truth, I know it's going to set them free. It set me free to be grateful and thankful for everything that comes within my lives. Oh God, bless them, watch over them, minister in their lives, I pray. And I believe in you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing this song. I think it's with a grateful heart, right?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We're going to sing that. In closing, if you are in need of prayer, come up. I'm up here as we sing this song. I want to pray for you if you need a prayer, okay? But let's just close ourselves in with God. Let God do something in our lives. And let him have his way in us. Worship team.
I come before you today. And there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For all you've given to me. For all the blessings that I cannot see.
As a sign of surrender, but thankfulness for what he's done in your life.
For all you've done in my life. You took my darkness and gave me your light. Thank you. real today. And there's just one thing that I want to say.
I just feel led to do this. You just go along with me. But if you're thankful for what God's done in your life, I need you to move out of your seat and come to the altars. Not for me to pray for you, but for you to show God, God, I am thankful for what you've done in my life. I just sense in my spirit that we need to do this. I don't know why, but we need to be obedient to what the Lord wants. And if you want to be obedient, you come as all. We're going to sing that chorus again, if you could, Joe. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord.
Yes, with your hands.
Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you grateful? Are you thankful? Amen. Be grateful.